Let us offer our heart at Bhagwan's lotus feet and pray that he bless us so that this heart is filled with his love and it becomes a heart that beats only for him and him alone. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Here is the bhajan we will be learning today. This is the first line.
He Nirakari Allah, He Avatari Prabhu Ram.
So yes, this is a multi-faith bhajan which has six lines, and let's begin by getting familiar with its lyrics, and then as always we will go on and learn its raga, the beat, the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to a conversation with Mr. Yashab Giri. He was blessed to sing in front of Bhagwan from the years 1990 to 1995. He currently is in Delhi and he shares some of his moments of divine proximity as a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group. So that is there towards the end of the program. For the moment, here are the lyrics.
He Nirakari Allah, He Avatari Prabhu Ram, Janam Janam Mere Sath Raho Tum Satya Sai Bhagavan, Nanak Yeshu Buddha Mahavira, Sab Hai Sai Bhagavan, Janam Janam Mere Sath Raho Tum Satya Sai Bhagavan.
So those are the words that make the bhajan, and now let us get familiar with its tune. Brother Ravi Kumar will sing every line of this beautiful bhajan slowly. Anirudh will follow him. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale F Pancham.
He Nirakari Allah, He Avatari Prabhu Ram.
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 Janam Janam Mere Sath Raho Tum Satya Sai Bhagavan.
Janam Janam Mere Sath Raho Tum Satya Sai Bhagavan.
Janam Janam Mere Sath Raho Tum Satya Sai Bhagavan.
Janam Janam Mere Sath Raho Tum Satya Sai Bhagavan.
He Nirakari Allah, He Avatari Prabhu Ram.
He Nirakari Allah, He Avatari Prabhu Ram.
Nanak Yeshu Buddha Mahavir,
Nanak Yeshu Buddha Mahavir,
Nanak Yeshu Buddha Mahavir,
Nanak Yeshu यीशु बुद्ध महावीर
सब है साई भगवान
सब है साई भगवान
सब है साई भगवान
सब है साई भगवान
जन्म जन्म मेरे साथ रहो तुम सत्य साई भगवान
जन्म जन्म मेरे साथ रहो तुम सत्य साई भगवान
जन्म जन्म मेरे साथ रहो तुम सत्य साई भगवान
जन्म जन्म मेरे साथ रहो तुम सत्य साई भगवान
हे निराकारी अल्लाह हे अवतारी प्रभु राम
So that is how this beautiful bhajan flows. You heard it in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now let us learn a little more about what makes this bhajan so beautiful. Anirudh is here with us in the studio. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga behind this lovely composition?
Sairam Vishu, this is a beautiful composition. I think it is largely based on Darbari, Ram where you have all the minor notes.
Yes.
Sa-re-ga-ma-pa-da-ni-sa-sa-ni-da-pa-ma-ga-ri-sa.
All the minor notes. There are plenty of bhajans in this kind of flow of the notes. May not be exactly the way the raga darbari is, but the notes.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying it may not give exactly the feel of
the phrases of darbari raga.
Yes.
But the notes are from this raga.
Yes.
So it's like all the minor notes are used in this raga, and there are plenty of bhajans we have discussed also in darbari raga.
Yes.
So if you ask me darbari, I think.
Please go on. I think not everyone is familiar with all the ragas, so I think a reiteration of the swaras of darbari will definitely be helpful.
Sure. Sa re re shuddh ga ga is komal ga minor
ma pa da
dha is komal
ni pa
ni is komal ni one
sa ni sa da ni pa ma pa ga ma ma re Sada ni re sa
Go on Anirudh, please do a small alap in this raga. Darbari has that
amazing feeling where it can convey majesty as well as melancholy. Both the feelings it can convey so powerfully.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I think listeners would love to hear more of the Alha, but we have to move on with the bhajan. So, yeah, let's move on and tell us the swaras for each line, Anil. Arvind Sai is here, so we will follow the swaras as you sing each line.
He Nirakari Allah, He Avatari Prabhu Ram, Saga Papa Padamapa, Pamadada Magamagari Gamamapa,
Saga Papa Padamapa, Pamadadamagamagari
gamamapa. Janam janam mere saath raho tum, Satya Sai Bhagavan. Pagare gare sa, pagare gare sa, Mamani sada pagare sa.
Pagare gare sa, pagare gare sa, Mamani sada pagare sa.
Again we come back to the first line. We go to the next line.
Yeah.
Nanak Yeshu Buddha Mahavir Ninida nida sanida da pa ma da pa pa.
If you observe this line, you have Shuddha Dha also.
Okay.
Very nicely used, the blend of both the Dhas.
Ninida na.
That kind of phrase, it's yeah. Beautiful. One, two, three, four, one.
Ninida nida sanida da pa ma da pa pa.
Sab hai Sai Bhagavan. Gagare sada nida pa gare sa.
Gagare sada nida pa gare sa.
And again, those two lines come.
Janam janam, yes. I think it's very beautiful that paga rega resa sounds so good actually.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful.
Amazing.
Very melodious bhajan it is.
Yes. And Anirudh, are there more bhajans where you have this sort of treatment of Darbari, where you have both the dhas coming in? Are there any more Sai bhajans of that nature?
Actually, this bhajan doesn't belong to Darbari.
Yeah.
But this kind of usage where, according to the feel of the composer, both dhas, I think,
Satya Dharma Shanti Prema Swarupa Prashanti Nilaya Deva.
In this bhajan, you have
Shiva Shakti Swarupa Baba Dina Dadapa.
Wonderful.
And one more bhajan which comes to my mind, which doesn't have exactly this kind of usage but has a similar feel, is Patita Pavanaram.
Patita Pavanaram Paritipurishwararam.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have all these bhajans which may not strictly have the darbari feel, but they have their own melody because you have darbari as the basis,
yeah.
But you have slight tweaking here and there.
Yeah, all the minor notes.
Minor notes, wonderful. So let's move on now. I think we can go on talking about darbari because it's such a beautiful raga. But I think we have to close somewhere. So let's move on and discuss the beat of this bhajan.
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is regular 8 beat.
Yeah.
And this is a little medium-fast bhajan.
Yeah.
So we sing it generally around 5th, 6th in the order of bhajans.
Yeah, if your session is about half an hour bhajan session.
And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
He Nirakari Allah, He Avatari Prabhu Ram.
He Nirakari Allah, He Avatari Prabhu Ram.
Okay, I think that really gives us some idea of the raga and the tala of this bhajan. Thank you so much for that additional help with the kanjira, Arvind Sai, and of course, Anirudh, for enlightening us about the technicalities of this bhajan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sairam. Sairam. So we have become familiar now with the lyrics, the raga, the beat, and it's time to move on to the most important aspect of bhajan singing, bhava. And for this, we really need to understand what each word in this bhajan conveys. So let's begin with the first line.
He nirakari Allah, he avatari Prabhu Ram.
The first word here is he, which is a way of calling out to a person, and in this case calling out to the Lord. The second word is nirakari, coming from nir and akara. Nir means no and akara means form. So nirakari means formless. The third word is Allah, which denotes the formless divinity that is adored by Muslims across the world. Bhagwan explains that in the word Allah, A stands for Atma or the eternal soul, and La stands for Layam or merging. Therefore, invoking Allah signifies merging into the eternal soul. The fourth word is again He, and the fifth word is Avatari, meaning incarnation of God. Now, why does the Supreme Lord descend in human form? Could not Lord Krishna and Lord Rama, who declared the intent of their advent as Dharmastapana or restoration of righteousness, achieve their mission from wherever they are, because they are the omnipresent and all-powerful? Could he not achieve his mission from wherever he is? Why did God come down in human form? In fact, many so-called intellectuals and rationalists in present times debunk the idea of God in human form as pure mumbo-jumbo. Even many theologians and believers, though they worship the Almighty and profess walking on the path laid down by one of the prophets or messengers of God, they treat the concept of God Himself descending down with disbelief and scorn. And it was the same many centuries ago too. The most popular Mughal emperor of India, Akbar the Great, who believed in the invisible and formless Allah, being a Muslim, he once openly scoffed at the so-called Hindu idea of avatars, of God assuming forms, and he threw a challenge to all the men in his court to convince him about the need and rationale for such an event. Now Birbal, the celebrated courtier who was known for his wit and wisdom, asked a week's time from His Majesty, and a few days later, Birbal arranged an exciting boat ride for the pleasure of the king and his family, and as the premier was cruising along, soaking in the sublimity of nature, away from the king's sight, the canny Birbal dropped into the waters a life-sized doll of the king's little son. And the moment this was done, the king was shocked to hear the loud splash, and it was accompanied by this piteous cry from Birbal saying, "Oh, the prince has fallen into the water." And the king instantly jumped into the water to rescue his son. He didn't even think, he didn't even bat an eyelid. But later, when he came to know of the prank played by Birbal, obviously he was furious. And Birbal then immediately explained, "I seek your pardon, Your Majesty, but I had to perforce stage this drama because I had to answer your doubt." And the king did not understand what is the doubt and what is he trying to explain. And Birbal clarified, "Your Majesty, you could have ordered any of us in your troop who are there with you to dive into the river. But the circumstance was so precarious and your affection for the little one was so intense that without even batting your eyelid, you just yourself jumped into the waters. You took the plunge yourself." And he said, "That is the case with God's incarnation too. I have answered your doubt, my Lord." When we think about it, what does a mother do when she sees her child walking away from her towards a grave danger? Does she look around to find who is the most suitable person around to help her? No, she just dashes to protect her child. If this is mother's love, imagine the Lord's love. In a revealing discourse delivered more than a century ago, in 1964, Swami said that the decline of righteousness and the unmatched love of the Lord for His children is what compels the Lord to descend. It is the unmatched love of the Lord. And Swami further added, "The Lord is love itself. He comes in human form so that you can talk to him, you can move with him, serve him, adore him, achieve him, and recognize your kinship with him. And that is the reason why the Lord came down years ago as Lord Rama and again in the present times as Sai Rama. And that is the meaning of this phrase, Avatari Prabhu Ram. Prabhu means God, and Ram, as Baba has always explained, means one who is pleasing and lovable. So in this line, we call out to the Almighty One whom Muslims adore as the formless Supreme God, the same universal divine consciousness who centuries ago assumed the human form of Lord Rama. Let's move on to the second line.
Janam janam mere saath raho tum Satya Sai Bhagavan.
Here the first phrase is janam janam, meaning birth after birth. The third word is mere, meaning me. And the fourth word is sat, meaning with. And the fifth word is raho, which means stay. And the sixth word is tum, meaning you. And the last phrase is Satya Sai Bhagavan, Lord Satya Sai. Bhagavan also means Lord, and Swami says Bha stands for Srishti or creation, Ga for Stiti or protection, and Va for Layam. Srishti, Stiti, Layam, which means he is the one who holds these three ultimate powers of creation, of protection, of annihilation. Elaborating on this word Bhagavan, Professor Kasturi says that it means he who has the following six potencies in full measure. First, Aishwaryam, which means greatness and might and the attributes of omnipotence, omnipresence and omniscience. Second, Dharma, which means virtue, righteousness, equity, impartiality, propriety. Third, Yashas, which means fame, reputation, splendor. Fourth, Shri, prosperity, plenty, majesty, dignity, grace, lustre. Fifth, Jnana, wisdom, intelligence, and the sixth attribute of the Lord, Vairagya, detachment, tranquility, balance. All these virtues is what Bhagwan is all about. In a discourse in 1981, Swami explained the inner meaning of the name Bhagwan further and said, the Vedas say, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavateti Saptayate, which means the Bhagwan principle is the same as Brahman, as Paramatman, as the ultimate one, the full. So in this line, we pray to the Almighty Lord to stay with us during every birth of ours. In fact, Baba always says that God indeed is your true and only soulmate, because he is always there wherever you are, not only in this birth but for births together. Let's move on to the third line.
He Nirakari Allah, He Avatari Prabhu Ram.
Now this is a repeat of the first line, and let us dwell a little more on this concept of the formless taking a human form as avatar. In fact, this question once plagued the mind of Mr. Faiz Mohammed, who as of March 2014 continued to serve as the Deputy Central Coordinator of the Sai Organization in West Indies. As a youngster, when a friend once told Faiz about Baba and gave him a book to read, it was Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Faiz immediately told his friend, who is this person on the cover of the book? And when the friend said that he is God in human form, Faiz was bewildered. He said, you must be mad. I mean, how can this person with an afro bushy hair be God? But his friend said, Faiz, just read it. But please read it with an open mind. So Faiz did take his advice, and once he started reading the book, he just could not put it down. He says, all the spiritual books I had read before and the universal thinking that I had come to develop was in perfect harmony with the teachings of Baba. I love his messages. He said, there is only one religion, the religion of love, only one language, the language of the heart, one caste, the caste of humanity, one God is omnipresent. I was so happy reading these messages. And he continues, the other saying that I liked very much was, let the different faiths exist, let them flourish, let the glory of God be sung in all languages in a variety of tunes. Respect the differences in the various faiths and recognize them as valid, so long as they don't extinguish the flame of unity.
And the other famous quotation, I have not come to disturb any faith, rather to conform each to his own faith, so that a Muslim becomes a better Muslim, a Hindu a better Hindu, and a Christian a better Christian. And Faiz goes on to say, I felt ecstatic at this fantastic, universal and loving message of Bhagwan. It enticed and encouraged me to go deeper into the teachings and mission of Baba. He had, in some sorts, captured my heart, but at the same time, he had also created a conflict within me, because when he said, I am God, I am all names and forms, it was very difficult for me to reconcile with my Muslim faith, because as a Muslim, I always knew that God is formless. And now I was wondering how to accept the fact that the formless Allah was Sai Baba. And he said, as I dwelled deeper into this, I read that he has said, I am God, but you are God too. The difference is that I know I am God and you do not. However, the conflict within me was so strong, I just could not reconcile with these things what Baba said about himself, and this confusion and frustration lasted for weeks and months. It gave me sleepless nights, and I prayed to Almighty to somehow show me the truth. And then he says, one fine morning something dawned on me. If Allah is omnipotent, omnipresent and omniscient, can he not assume a human form? When this thought came, it removed quite a bit of doubts from my mind, though not all of them completely, but I was much better and I became more receptive to the grace of Bhagwan. And eventually, I visited Prashant Nilayam in 1981, and at that time, when Faiz came here, he did not stay for a day or a week, but for a whole month. He saw Swami, he heard Swami, he saw him create things, he saw him delivering profound discourses, and he says, I felt his energy, I felt his presence, I felt his love so strongly, there was no looking back. I knew that he was the divine in human form. Of course, the story of Faiz goes on. He is now with the Sai organization for more than 25 years. So that is the Nirakari Allah who becomes Sai Ram, Prabhu Sai Ram. And Faiz Muhammad's experience is just one among the countless. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Nanak Yeshu Buddha Mahavir.
The first word here is Nanak, referring to Guru Nanak, the first among the 10 gurus responsible for founding the Sikh religion. Nanak comes from Na and Anak, meaning nothing but one. The second word is Yeshu, indicating Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is revered by Christians. Baba says Ye means one and Su means good. So Yeshu means there is only one God who is omnipresent, omnipotent and omniscient. The third word is Buddha, referring to Gautama Buddha, the founder of Buddhism. Buddha means the enlightened one. And Swami says Buddha is not a personal name. Buddha is one who is spiritually enlightened, who is mentally awakened and who has realized the supreme truth. So he is the one who practices unity of thought, word and action. He is someone who is ever full of compassion, unaffected by the vicissitudes of life. The fourth word is Mahavira, the founder of Jainism. Maha means great and Vira means the brave one. And Baba explains that he was called Mahavira because he achieved complete sense control and he became a Jinnah, which means, according to Jains, he is a victor, the victory over his sensory faculties. So in this line, we glorify the one Lord who came to give messages to mankind through different forms and names as Nanak, Yeshu, Buddha and Mahavir. Let's move on to the penultimate line of this bhajan.
Sab hai Sai Bhagwan.
Sab means all, and the second word is hey, meaning is. The other phrase is Sai Bhagawan, which we are already familiar. So in this line, we proclaim that all names and forms worshipped in different religions are nothing but different ways to adore our Lord Sai. And now let's move on to the last line.
Janam janam mere saath raho tum Satya Sai Bhagwan.
this is a repeat of an earlier line of this bhajan. Let me narrate here an incident recounted by a very senior devotee, late Dr. Gadia from the United Kingdom. Once Bhagwan, during an interaction with devotees, said, "If no one has any question to ask, Gadia, why don't you ask a question?" And so Dr. Gadia said, "Swami, when you were at Shirdi, you told Shama, your ardent devotee, that he was connected with you for the last 72 generations. And when the members of the Dhurandhar family arrived at Shirdi, you had said, 'These are members of my darbar, my court, and they are connected with me for the last 60 generations. Now, I am in front of you and I would like to know, since how many generations have I been connected with you?'" And Bhagwan told him, "Gadia, you are connected with Swami for the last many generations and you will still be connected with Swami for many more generations." And immediately Dr. Gadia asked, "Swami, then no liberation for me?" And Bhagwan immediately sat up straight in his sofa and with an unhappy expression he said, "Liberation? This means you are a great hypocrite." And Gadia was taken aback. He said, "Swami, I fail to understand how you call me a hypocrite." And Swami said, "Don't you sing a bhajan in front of all the devotees saying that you are my Rama, you are my Krishna, and you are my soul, you are my companion, you are the one with me through life after life? This means that you are telling the devotees that Swami is your companion through many lives. But that is only an outward show," Swami said, "because today you are asking me to give you liberation. So that only means that you are an hypocrite." And then Dr. Gadia, holding both his earlobes with both his hands and asking forgiveness, he said, "Swami, I promise not to ask for liberation in this life. But you please promise me that you are going to remain my companion in lives to come." And Bhagwan answered very lovingly and said, "Yes, Swami will be with you for many generations to come. Your next birth will be in Mysore state, in Sri Rangapatnam, and you will be with Prema Sai. You have been serving in this life. You will still be serving more." That is the assurance that Bhagwan gave to Dr. Gadia. And that amply illustrates, "Janam janam mere saath raho tum satya sai Bhagwan." So with that, dear listeners, we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And with this deeper understanding, let's now proceed listening to this bhajan once again. And now, in the voices of the students of Bhagwan, singing in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir.
हे निराकारी अल्लाह, हे अवतारी प्रभुरा,
And now in the last part of this classroom, here is a small excerpt of a conversation that I had with Mr. Yashab Giri. He hails from Darjeeling and he had the opportunity of singing in front of Bhagwan for 5 years from 1990 to 1995. He shares his precious moments of offering his music to the Lord. Can I request you to sing one bhajan, something which you loved singing in front of Swami? I know we don't have the harmonium here, but maybe you can just sing few lines just for that our listeners can get a feel of your voice.
Yes, I'll probably warn the listeners that, you know, it's a croaking voice that they will hear. But there is one bhajan that I loved singing in front of Swami.
And if there's any episode related to that bhajan, you can always narrate.
There isn't one, but I love singing this song called Nandake Dulare. Mm-hmm. I somehow felt that certain lines, you could really feel those lines. So maybe I'll sing that.
Sure.
Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare. Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare. Govinda murare, dino ke sahare. Govindam rare, dino ke sahare. Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare. Karuna sagara, Giridhar nagara. Karuna sagara, Giridhar nagara, Murali Manohara, Sai Murare. Murali Manohara, Sai Murare. Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare.
Beautiful. So which line in this really appeals to you the most?
Karuna Sagar, Giridhar Nagar.
Karuna Sagar. You can relate to?
I can relate it to. All my 5 years, that's all I can relate it to. I only saw Karuna.
Only compassion and mercy.
Compassion and love. Compassion and love. Yeah, really.
Wonderful. Now that you are also someone who is going regularly for bhajans in the place that you are in and teaching people bhajans, and you are someone who has also had a liking towards so many other forms of music, English music before, and I don't know now what other music that you hear, but what are your impressions on Sai bhajans?
My daughter learns classical music. She's been learning for 4 years, and generally she practices at home. And to explain one raga, generally, you know, it takes her about 10-15 minutes doing all the
elaboration
of that raga. And when I listen to a Sai bhajan, you know, I see that in that 5 lines, the entire raga is explained beautifully. I keep telling my daughter that you should learn our Sai bhajans because, you know, they catch one raga and so beautifully they explain.
In just 4 or 5 lines, you have the raga.
Yes, it's really beautiful. Some of our bhajans are fantastic. The way they've captured ragas, they are just amazing.
What is it that is always top of your mind when you sing a bhajan?
Somehow I feel that there are some ragas which suit me, mm-hmm, or some style of songs that suit me. I've always liked this rag Charukesi. Mm-hmm. Somehow it's got a very melancholy feel to it. Yes. And sometimes I feel that it gives me liberty to explore the emotional content of that bhajan. For example, Nandake Dulare or Satya Sai Rama. These bhajans, the way the chord structure, the raga is structured, it helps you explore some emotional thoughts, some feelings.
Mm.
I feel like Yaman, for that matter also, it's a very nice raga. So some Ganesh bhajan in Yaman, it is beautiful.
Yes. So basically it helps you to express.
Express, yes.
And every time you have used these bhajans to communicate with Swami, right?
Yes. There are many times when I have sung out of scale and maybe not given the entire turns and twists that a bhajan required, but I always felt that I could connect with Bhagwan when I sang. I could always pour out my heart. That was more important.
And Swami responded.
And most of the time he's responded. That's why I sang for 5 years.
Yeah. So what would you like to say to all those budding singers and aspiring singers? You know, there's so many devotees, youth out there, you know, who would like to lead bhajans, who would like to join Sai Samitis and, you know, offer their music to Swami. What would be your advice to them? One, okay. Two, three.
My advice to them is something that I never did in my life. So, and that is practice.
Yes.
I never did it. And I'm sure if I had seriously practiced, I would be able to render better. But anyway, that time is long gone. But I think for all aspiring singers, the riyaj or, you know, taking guidance under someone who knows music, classical music, I think it's very important. Because if the foundation is good, then, you know, on that foundation you can build anything.
Yes.
And I think classical music is that foundation. On that you can sing any genre. You can sing rock, pop, classical, devotional, anything you can sing if the foundation is good. So I think so for all budding singers, bass. They should go to a guru or a teacher who can actually teach them that bass well.
Learn music with discipline for some.
Yes, I think that's extremely important. I vouch for it. I have not followed it, but I'm giving an advice.
You had natural gift from God.
I don't know about that, but I think people should take music seriously, practice real hard.
Mm.
And I think a daily practice is what will keep everyone in touch with music. That is the technical part of music.
Yes.
The other thing is to sing with your heart out. I think that's also very important. So you can be technically very strong and there may be no bhav in your bhajan. So I think both are equally good. You need to be technically good, but you need to have a lot of emotions and feelings in your bhajans. Otherwise, the person who listens will not be able to connect or appreciate.
Absolutely. And I think maybe it is only because of this bhava aspect that...
I'm sure.
Even though you are saying you didn't practice, but I think that is what really you are able to connect and offer your music. But as someone very beautifully once told me that just like when you want to communicate in a language, two things are needed. One is that you need to know what you want to communicate. And then you need the language. You need both of them if you want to say something. And this brother very beautifully compared this. He said, what you want to communicate is the feeling. And the medium with which you can communicate is the raga and tala.
Is the raga and tala, yes.
So you cannot dispense with either of them. If you just know the raga and tala, but you don't know what you have to communicate, then it is going to be an empty thing.
Correct.
But if you know what you want to communicate, but you don't have these tools, you don't have the raga and tala, then again, there is no communication happening. So I think that's what you said, you know, the first and second, you need the foundation, but that foundation will help you to express the feeling. So that was Yashab Giri, who currently works in a Swiss firm called Adeco India. He's into HR services and he works in Delhi. And this conversation was recorded in December 2013. So with that, we come to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, we welcome your feedback and comments, as you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We offer this humble endeavor at the lotus feet of our most sweetest beloved Bhagwan.